Welcome to our Sunday morning worship services here at Marvin Methodist Church in downtown Tyler, Texas. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. Today, we'll be hearing from Reverend Brandi Stevens as she preaches a mini-series entitled Dinner with Jesus, exploring how Jesus used meals to build community and include others. Let's join in as the gracious and loving Brandi Stevens offers today's message.
Then Jesus said to the host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat and feast at the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field, so I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became very angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' said the servant, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' The master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads of the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. And as you're seated, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we worship you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are grateful, and Lord, we are in awe of your presence. Lord, we thank you that you meet us right where we are. That, Lord, you understand our needs, our hearts' desires, well before we even speak them. And so, Lord, as we spend time in your word and through this dinner table experience with Jesus, we pray that you will speak to us, that you will bring truth to light, that you will transform us, move through our worship, change us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, we're going to continue our mini-series, Dinner with Jesus, Discovering Grace and Community Around the Table. Luke's gospel is full of stories of Jesus eating and drinking with people. There's an intentional theme that we see throughout the gospel that Luke wants us to understand. Jesus' strategy to build relationship with people is over long meals with a view of spiritual movement. He would start with a table set with food, but then it would turn into nourishment for starving souls. The dinner table is a holy place. It's a place where stories are shared, relationships are formed, a place of laughter, a place for honest conversation, a place where lives are changed. The scene of our text this morning is set back at the beginning of chapter 14, when Luke tells us that Jesus has been invited to the home of a prominent Pharisee to share in a meal on the Sabbath. Now, Pharisees were religious scholars, interpreters of the law of Moses. And Luke tells us that they are on the lookout, watching Jesus very closely while at supper, almost expecting Jesus to break the laws governing the Sabbath, which he's prone to do, and he doesn't disappoint. He heals a man arguing that doing so is as necessary as pulling someone from danger, helping them up from a fall, all things allowable by the Sabbath. Next, Jesus makes note of how the people are jockeying for places of honor at the dinner table. He gave them advice. He tells them that those who choose the best places for themselves should watch out, lest the host come and tell the guests to move and give up their seat for someone more important. It might not be communicated to us when we think about being invited over to our neighbors for dinner. But if you think about being invited to a wedding reception, one of the few places where it's common to have assigned seating, that might be related to the closeness of the host to the event. You get the idea. You wouldn't want to sit too close to the bridal party's table unless you knew that that is where you were supposed to be seated, perhaps unless you were family or close friends. How embarrassing would it be to be asked to move? Jesus gives us this example to make a broader point, a familiar refrain that of his throughout the Gospels. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus still wasn't finished. Now he's turned to the host who has invited him to this gathering. In verse 12, Jesus says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, Jesus is instructing the host. He's instructing you and I. And notice that he assumed that you and I will at times open our home and host people as followers of Christ. Consider the fact that for most of us, our homes are our greatest investment. But how often do we leverage our home, our greatest investment, for the sake of the kingdom? Jesus assumes you and I will open our homes, our apartments, our condos up to outsiders. On several occasions, Jesus has said something in a kind of over-the-top way in order to awaken us, to grab our attention. What Jesus is going to be talking about is who we include in our lives, because to invite someone is to include someone. The table fellowship of Jesus is based on grace. Professor of New Testament interpretation Joel B. Green explains, the behaviors Jesus demands would collapse the distance between rich and poor, insider and outsider. As we reflect on verses 12 through 24, we're going to have the opportunity for our minds to be renewed, for our hearts to be stretched, to walk away with an expanded invitation list. Because this morning is about who we include and who we exclude from our lives. As today's text unfolds, we'll find two conversations. First, the conversation Jesus has is about who you and I invite, who we include at our table. And the second conversation is about who God invites, who God includes at the table. Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, do not invite your brothers or your sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors. Church, are we asking why? Why not our relatives? Why not our brothers and sisters, our friends? Why are we not inviting them? Jesus gives the answer in the same breath in verse 12. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. The word repaid is critical in this passage. To understand this word and why it's so critical is we have to step out of our culture and travel back to first century Eastern culture. Jesus' culture in which he lived was a highly reciprocal culture. I invite you, now you are obligated to invite me. So if you have a big, fancy, expensive meal with expensive wine and food, and you invite someone, they are now obligated to host and to invite you. And the wine better be at similar quality or greater. That's why Jesus says, if you invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors, they're going to invite you over, and you're going to invite them over, and they're going to invite you over, and you're going to invite them over, and over, and over. And Jesus says, they will pay you back. This was a reciprocal culture. Providing someone with a five-star experience entailed a thoughtful consideration of whether they could reciprocate with an equally high-quality experience in return. This meant that five-star people mostly socialized with five-star people. And those who were three-star associated with three-star, while those without stars were excluded. They could never reciprocate. They could never repay. This is the culture that Jesus lives in. And here in verse 12, he's saying you're not giving hospitality, but you're trading hospitality. This is not gracious. It's not what grace is all about. Grace turns everything upside down. Jesus continues in verse 13, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The people Jesus lists, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, represent the marginalized, the powerless, the vulnerable as a whole. They are the orphans and the widows of James chapter 1. They are the tax collectors and the sinners in Luke 5. All of these people have been on the fringes of society. Religion has nothing to offer the crippled, the lame, the blind, but Jesus. Jesus brings healing. The Pharisees had neither experienced grace nor saw a need for it, and as a result, they had no grace for the needy. Author Tim Chester explains, meals can be a visual representation of our hearts, position, honor, status, or approval. That will be reflected in our dining etiquette. As the text unfolds, it seems that our Creator is very concerned about who we include in our life. He desires to see, to record, to reward. Although they cannot repay you, he says you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Our Creator is deeply concerned with who we include in our life. Our attitude to the marginalized is to be shaped by our experience of God's grace to us. Often we think about enacting grace if we provide for the poor, but church, we're only halfway there. This isn't just about hunger. There was a way to feed people who were hungry without inviting them into the party, without inviting them into one's home. When the luncheon and the dinner were over, when the meal was done, there was no refrigeration back in the first century. So what do you do with leftovers? You get a servant to go down to the corner where the people hang out, where they beg to share the leftovers. This was a way to share the food without including them, without sharing life with them. Jesus challenges the social norms, urging to extend generosity beyond immediate circles, inviting the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Not only invite them, but include them. Tim Chester points out, people don't want to be projects. The poor need a welcome to replace their marginalization, inclusion to replace their exclusion, a place where they matter to replace their powerlessness. The dynamic is radically different when we sit with someone. We meet as equals. We share together. Several weeks ago now, I left from the office and it was kind of late. And I decided that rather than going home to cook, which is probably one of my least favorite things, that I was gonna stop and get something to eat. But as I approached the restaurant and I began to open the door, I noticed a woman to the side who was kind of pacing back and forth. And so I stopped to ask if she were okay and invited her to join me for dinner. It wasn't much, but rather than eating alone that night, we sat at the table together. We shared a meal and we shared a little about ourselves. As our dinner came to an end, I couldn't help but ask, "Is there anything that I can be in prayer for you and with you?" And as she looked me in the eyes, she said to me, "I'm grateful for the meal that we've shared, but most of all, I'm grateful for your time. More than anything, I need a friend." Church, in our culture, we have to recognize that there are a number of individuals that we have the opportunity to invite and to include who are hungry, but they are not physically hungry. They are people who have 3 square meals a day, but they are starving spiritually, relationally, emotionally. They're just waiting for the invitation. Previously, I mentioned that today's text unfolds 2 conversations. The first conversation, Jesus is talking to us about who you and I invite, who we include at our table. And the second is about who Jesus invites, who he includes at his table. In verse 16, Jesus replies, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests." Now keep in mind, the host in the story is God the Father. His hands have graciously and generously invited you and I to feast at the table. Notice in verse 17, "At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant out to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" Now, in order to understand this parable, we have to pause for just a moment and understand that this is not the first invitation, but this is the second invitation that had been set out for the banquet. Far in advance of the banquet, an invitation would be sent out, telling people the day of the banquet, not the exact hour, but the day of the banquet. And now the host would know how many guests were coming. So he would know how many animals to butcher, how much bread to make. And then just before the feast was to begin, the host would send the servants out to gather all of the guests who had accepted the invitation to tell them the banquet was ready. Now was the time to come. Jesus describes an amazing turn of events. The door is open. The host is waiting. Every piece of silverware and china is in place. The centerpiece is perfect. The bowls and the dishes are filled, overflowing with meats, vegetables, and fruits of all kinds. The servants are standing and waiting to serve the guest, but no one shows up. Incredibly, one by one, they begin to make excuses of why they can't come to this unbelievable banquet. In verse 18, they all began to make excuses. The word excuse literally means to beg off, to ask to be left aside. Listen to the excuses that are given. I just bought a field and I must go and see it. I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. I just got married, so I can't come. And the text tells us that the host became very angry. And now that's a natural response. But let's ask ourselves, why is the host angry? Yes, he's lost a lot of money on the food that would go to waste. But the real reason, the deeper reason that this host is upset is these excuses, let's be honest, they're lame. They are so lame that they intend to shame and humiliate and disgrace the host. His cultural credibility would plummet. Look at the second half of verse 21. The master said to the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." Do you see what just happened in the text? The party will go on as scheduled, with an entirely new and unexpected guest list. In fact, these are the people who would never have made it on anyone's guest list. The second invitation goes to the streets where the poorest of the poor live. In fact, these are the people who live behind the walls and gates of the city. They were literally the outcast. And they are not just invited. Look back at this text and notice the phrase that says, "bring in." I encourage you to circle that phrase, because this phrase, "bring in," implies that they weren't simply invited, but they were escorted into the party. They were escorted in to share in this glorious banquet. He's turning the party upside down. Luke is urging, when God reverses the worldly order of things, make sure you're on the underside. Invite the marginalized, just as God invites you, who were once marginalized by him, from him. This is to the resurrection feast. The Lord is nudging us to extend and expand our invitation. Only the people that will get to eat at the big family dinner in heaven are those sinful and broken, misfits and messed up, who have come to the table of grace, who have realized their need and come to the table of grace. Expand the list of who you're inviting. Expand the list of who you're including. I am so thankful that the table of grace is for everyone who will come. Everyone who sees their need and comes to the table of grace. There's no bragging at the table of grace, because It's all grace, and it's undeserved. We've been included. We've been invited. Who are you inviting? Who are you extending an invitation to the table of grace? Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you see us. Lord, you see us behind the mask that we hide behind, that Lord, you see us just as you created us, that Lord, your grace and your mercy are new every day. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to see one another, created in your image. Open our hearts to love one another. Let us open our homes, Lord. Let us open our tables to sit together, to share in life together, Lord. In the darkest of the valleys and the highest of the mountains, Lord, let us be a people who share in life together, who share in your love and your grace and your mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, move on your people. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give. Thanks again for joining us and have a blessed week.